Great Eastern Radio presents the Working from the House interview series, issues and information that matter to our community during the COVID-19 pandemic. Live from his home studio, here's House.
Working from the House, today's guest joining me on the phone line is New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan. Senator Hassan, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're incredibly busy right now.
Well, thanks, Matt, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure's all mine. And obviously, let's start with the big news coming yesterday. Another small business relief bill passed the Senate, now headed to the House. This bill is going to pump more than $300 billion back into the SBA loan fund that went dry, obviously much needed right now. But this new bill also includes $75 billion for hospitals, $25 billion to expand COVID-19 testing. Senator Hassan, how important was it to make sure that that money was included in this bill for hospitals and for testing?
Well, that was really important to a lot of us. And one of the things that we really needed to do over the last week to 10 days was ensure that we not only were continuing to help small businesses, who are obviously the backbone of our economy here in New Hampshire and all across the country, but we needed to make sure that as we are thinking through how to protect people while also reopening the economy, mm-hmm. that our healthcare system and our frontline workers have what they need to do the job. A lot of our hospitals canceled their elective procedures altogether so that they could handle the surge of COVID-19 patients and be prepared for that, and also keep other patients who don't need to be in the hospital safe. But that means that they had a huge drop in their usual revenues. So they really needed those resources. The other thing that was really important in this part of the bill was the $25 billion, not only for testing, to pour resources into and ramp up of our testing capacity, but it also requires the administration to develop a plan to increase our domestic testing capacity, including testing supplies. Only the federal government has the power under the Defense Production Act to say to manufacturers, you need to stop working on that and start doing testing supplies, and then to coordinate not only the production but also the distribution of these supplies. And that's really the key here. Viruses don't know borders. Viruses don't discriminate against people based on politics or what they do for a living or anything else. And we need to make sure that as we work to get back to normal, so to speak, that we have the kind of capacity that would help us identify when somebody has the illness and then trace back who they've been in contact with, isolate or quarantine people who have been exposed so that the rest of the economy can keep going. That's why this testing and the public health support that goes with the testing is so critically important. We need a national strategy, and helping small businesses, which is so critical, was really going to be an incomplete response. And those small businesses need this testing so that they'll have customers.
On the line with New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan. And Senator, with this bill passing the Senate yesterday, now headed to the House, already talks that the next legislative package is already being discussed. And obviously, as you just mentioned, having the money going for the hospitals and the money put aside for the testing was such a big part of this bill that's headed to the House now. What parameters would you be looking for out of that package, that the next package that perhaps didn't happen the most in this most recent one?
Yeah, the thing that concerns me about the most recent one that was left out is funding for state and local governments and flexibility for that funding. When we passed the CARES bill now a couple of weeks ago, it had funding for state and local governments. New Hampshire got $1.25 billion of that. And it is directed to the state to use for expenses related to COVID-19. So there's some decent flexibility there. But one, we know that states and local governments will need more than that. When you think about it, when you essentially shut down an economy to protect people's lives, you are shutting down your revenues. And just the way small businesses suddenly don't have revenues coming in the door, neither do state and local governments at a time when we need them to be doing a lot of different things, but including their public health function, including the public safety responsibilities that don't go away. Think about keeping our roads safe and our correction system and all of those kinds of functions, and our public safety EMTs and firefighters. So we need to make sure in the next bill that we are providing more direct assistance, not only to states, but to make sure it gets down to the local level too, and that there is flexibility so that as states are assessing their lost revenues, revenues that were lost directly because of COVID-19, because we shut down sections of the economy that produce revenues, we need to make sure that state and local governments have what they need so that they can do what's so important for our public safety, so that they can do what they do to help the economy. You know, think about reopening restaurants, for instance. You need public health inspectors, you know, to be able to be in there to make sure that the restaurants are safe and doing everything they need. And so the other thing is, we wouldn't want to see lots of state and local layoffs just at a time when we're trying to reboot the economy. That doesn't make any sense either. That would have us running at cross purposes. So that's some of what we need to think through for the next bill. We'll also want to be getting more information, obviously, about the impact of the virus on the economy, on the healthcare sector, on individuals. As you all know, that our first CARES Act had direct cash assistance for individuals, boosted unemployment. Those all have kind of expiration dates,
right,
which we may need to extend depending on how long this goes.
On the line with New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan and Senator, a couple hundred people outside the State House this past weekend to protest the stay-at-home order and that non-essential businesses remain closed here in the Granite State. Now, you've said that we need to ramp up the COVID-19 testing before it'll really be safe to start reopening the economy. Where are we in terms of testing right now, and where do you think we need to be before we can actually really move forward with this reopening?
Right. Well, one of the reasons that we were so insistent that we not only get money for testing in this bill, but also directed the administration to develop a national strategy, is because it is very hard to get answers right now from the federal government about how much testing capacity we actually have. And governors are very frustrated because they want to be able to do the kind of testing, for instance, that will keep nursing home residents safe, yeah, and let frontline healthcare workers know whether they've got the virus. All of that depends on having testing. And I think we all heard Governor Sununu express his frustration about getting rapid testing devices from Abbott Labs, but then not having enough of what are known as cartridges to actually run more than about 100 tests.
Yeah.
And that maybe gets you through the first hour that you need to test, for instance, nursing home residents. So it's really important. Only the president has power under the Defense Production Act to instruct a manufacturing sector to focus all their resources and attention on a certain product, and it's called the Defense Production Act for a reason. We put it into place so that at wartime a president can make that kind of decision. The president and others have said we are at war with this virus. This is the type of approach we need, because experts have a range of what they think we're going to need to be able to do in terms of diagnostic testing, everything from 500,000 to 1 million tests a day nationally. Now another study says it could be between 5 and 20 million tests a day, not only to test people who have symptoms or who have been exposed, but to do what's called surveillance testing, because we know that a lot of people who don't have symptoms get this virus and can be contagious, which is why the stay-at-home order is so important. And I know it's frustrating to people, and I know it doesn't feel somehow right to respond to a crisis by staying in. But one, it is having the desired impact of slowing the spread of this disease and flattening the curve and keeping our healthcare system from being overwhelmed. We want our healthcare system available for COVID patients, but also if you have another kind of medical emergency, we want there to be healthcare for you at our hospitals too. So staying at home is working, but what we'll need to be able to do as we reopen the economy is test not only people with symptoms, but kind of randomly test people who don't have symptoms. That allows us to understand where there might be an outbreak and take targeted public health action as opposed to having to shut everything down all over again. Because as difficult as this is right now, I don't want us to have to do this again.
Yeah.
And I know the governor doesn't. I know that nobody in the Granite State wants to go through this again. And that's the risk that is posed by reopening the economy suddenly without having adequate testing and then the public health personnel to do the what's called contact tracing so that we can, you know, quickly isolate and quarantine people who've been exposed while allowing everybody else to be out and about and doing their business.
Absolutely. Like you said, it's frustrating for people, but, you know, we have to stay the course as we see with the statistics and the numbers. Social distancing, stay at home is working right now. So we just kind of have to steady the course.
Yeah. And, you know, the last thing I'll just say is for those of us with high risk family members, I have a son who has cerebral palsy and a compromised respiratory system. You know, after we passed the CARES Act in late March, I stayed down in Washington self-isolating for 2 weeks before I came home because I had been on the Hill, I'd probably been exposed, and I didn't want to bring that into a household with a high-risk individual. So I hope people know that even when you're quite sure that you haven't been exposed or, you know, you just want to go see your friends or the like, that you're running the risk of spreading the virus to somebody for whom it will be lethal. And that's the other piece of this that's so important. And, you know, again, hard to do, frustrating, but if we can get more testing and we continue to see our numbers flatten, then we're going to be able to talk about this next step of reopening the economy, something we are all so anxious to do.
Really great thing to keep in mind there. New Hampshire Senator Maggie Hassan, again, thank you so much for the time today. I know you're very, very busy right now. I hope to talk to you again soon. Stay healthy and stay safe.
Same to you. Everybody stay safe and keep up the social distancing. It's working, guys. Thanks
great.
So much for having me.
Thank you, Senator. Take care.